How we doing, friends? I'm Logan Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him. And Mama said don't, but I did it anyway, misbehaving. And it's fantastic to be in for another edition of the Speed Syndicate. Really, really wonderful to be here. I'm not doing it alone, thank the Lord. This one, episode 75, titled Texas Toast. But let's bring in the co-host with the most, the syrup-sipping, John Miller-listening, coffee-drinking. I mean, he just epitomizes what it means to be a Canuck. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. And, you know, these days he's a Tyler Reddick fan. Let's bring him in. Adam, Canadian Carabine. Come on in here, buddy.
I may be a Tyler Reddick fan, but today I'm actually wearing the Christopher Bell garb today, you know. Just felt like something different. Oh, look, let's get our names up there. There we go.
Freddie already tuning in. I'll tell you what, I love Freddie. I love Freddie to death. He's a good man.
He's more on time than we are. That's great.
Texas toast. Oh yeah, a little bacon and egg. I myself like a little bacon and egg, my man. I like it, Adam. Bacon and egg.
What is that? A&W?
That's good stuff. You know what we should call next week's episode?
What's that?
Bacon and egg.
What does that have to do with Kansas?
I don't get the flip of a wooden nickel what it's got to do with Kansas. Look, we want to do the best we can here, but we're going to have fun doing it.
All right.
In case you're wondering why it's titled Texas Toast, ladies and gentlemen, let me help you out. Matt Maher, tuning in. Happy Revenge of the Fifth Day to you. I'm kind of a Sith guy myself, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of, you know, Darth Vader is kind of my stuff. Anywho, by the way, the prequels are the best Star Wars films. I'm here to tell you.
Wow.
Yeah. Hot take. I'm going
to throw that up there.
Hot. Peppered. The reason it's called Texas Toast is because what is Joey Logano's nickname?
Sliced bread.
Yeah. You get it in there?
There you go. I didn't even realize it.
Doggone it. I'll tell you what, if I get any smarter, I'll be illegal in 55 states. Anywho, Adam, before we get into our weekend review, how are you?
Yeah, doing all right. It was a busy weekend for me. Not necessarily NASCAR related, unfortunately. But yeah, I caught the race. And yeah, I don't know. Nothing else exciting going on. Just here. Happy to be here for Speed Syndicate.
All right, Texas buddy. Yes. What do you say we break it down and get after it in our weekend review? All right. Yes, as alluded to on the 75th episode of Speed Syndicate, Joey Logano, he breaks the ice. He gets a Texas size a victory, a 22 step, if you will. See what I did there. I'm a poet, boys. I'm telling you, I'm a poet.
You're on one today.
Oh, you got no idea. Anywho, Adam, let's talk about this thing. Joey Logano gets it done. He came for 27th. I mean, he came from the back of the field. You know, we talk a lot about you can't pass these days. I mean, technically, Joey Logano passed a lot of cars.
I guess, yeah. It's hard to pass for the lead these days, that's for sure.
Once you get that clean air. All right, so let's talk. Joey Logano. He gets his win. He gets off the schneid. Oh, Ryan, it's like he's got a radar or something. This is wild. Joey Logano, let's talk about it.
He's got one of those Google alerts that when anyone mentions Joey Logano, it just pings to his phone, and then he finds us. So, yeah,
that's good stuff. Ian tuning in, thanks so much. He said, about last week, when it comes to that one bump in turn three at Texas that caused problems for multiple drivers, do you think NASCAR will address it and try to fix it? I got to tell you, Ian, hot take here. I think this bump thing is kind of like, yeah, clearly it was causing issues. But don't we talk all the time about the drivers wanted to be a hard car to drive, and they wanted to be able to kind of put it in their hands. They wanted to, you know, they don't want it to be too easy. Darlington is bumpier than a teenager's face, and nobody complains. You know, I just like, I, you know, I don't think NASCAR will try to fix it. Let me tell you why. Because it's one of the few things that makes Texas appealing right now. Texas, by all accounts, is not. Well, I shouldn't say all accounts. We got a buddy that will swear that Texas is just the creme de la creme of Texas races. But Ian, in my estimation, I don't think there will, because let's be honest, right? There's an entertainment factor in NASCAR, fair, and I think there's entertainment and unpredictability. Adam, what's your take on that?
I agree in some ways with what you're saying, but I also don't agree with you. I'll explain better what I mean. Unpredictability, yeah, it does make for more exciting racing. I'll give you that. Things like Darlington being bumpy is absolutely fair. I'm not feeling it at Texas though. I don't feel like that bump is a good one. It's not just that it's like something that's unpredictable for the drivers and ooh, like who's gonna hit the bump in the wrong way. It's like a speed bump in the middle of the track. The rest of the track is fine, and that one area is where you're having constant issues. And I mean, not to jump ahead too far into what we're talking about, but there were lots of cautions, and many of them were as a result of poor bump management, if you will, if you want to put that on the driver's side. Or yeah, I don't know, how difficult is it to even that out on the track side of things and fix it? Because I don't know, I don't think that the next gen car on these intermediate tracks has been that bad. It's been getting better and better. And so was Texas a great race as far as that's concerned? I don't know, but I don't know if we really fully got into a good rhythm to find out because of those bumps. I know we have some friends who also were talking about how it's a major safety issue and like NASCAR needs to address this 100%. And it's, you know, I don't know if I go that far. I think there are ways around it, but I also would prefer a track where like multiple grooves are working all at the same time, because that makes for better racing and maybe better opportunities for passing. And so maybe part of the issue we saw with passing for the lead yesterday might have had to do with the fact that turn three bump is like off limits pretty much, right? So sure, you can put it on the drivers and say, oh, that's just another unpredictable thing they have to deal with. And, you know, Darlington's got the bumps as well. And, you know, yeah, but I don't know, like, I don't know if that's a driver's issue or if that's I lean more towards it being a track issue. Do I think NASCAR will address it? Probably not. But yeah, I don't know if I go so far as it being a major safety issue. It's just, it doesn't make for the most exciting race.
Well, it's kind of a hotly contested issue on social media right now in terms of, you know, we had friends like you mentioned that were upset, called it a safety issue, and there's some heavy growing rumors kind of in Reddit circles that Texas is likely to get the Atlanta treatment at some point, which I'm not for. I got to tell you, I think six is enough. I think six is plenty. Frankly, it might be a little too much. I would not add another one to, you know, proverbial egg roll to that plate. But that's the heavy rumor. I don't want to see that. I also don't want Texas off the schedule because it's an important market. And I would rather have some tough races in a challenging market than for NASCAR to kind of, to try to duct tape this thing, for lack of a better term, because I think right now, and I know the kind of racing they were producing was apples and oranges, right? But I think right now Auto Club is a great point of what happens when NASCAR is, you know, for lack of a better term, just doing too much. There was nothing wrong with Auto Club. There was nothing wrong with Auto Club. It produced some great racing, especially with this car. Ryan Hill says more super speedway style races and less road courses. All right, Ryan, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. What's the sweet spot for you? Is six not enough? Is six not enough? Do you want more? Do you want more than six? Is six the perfect point? Do you want to go back to four? I just Matt Maher says wrong. I don't know who he's what's got you.
I think
you?
He's disagreeing with Ryan there.
Okay. You know, I didn't know. You know,
I'm just looking at you know, maybe just calling a spade here, Ryan. I'm noticing that Joey Logano's average finish on road courses is 19.4. And so I wonder maybe where that sentiment comes from, wanting less road courses.
Adam is also known in some circles as the keeper of the receipts.
Oh, yes. I will find you. I have a particular set of skills. I will find you.
He'll search every chat I love.
Yes. There's a couple other comments I wanted to get to here just before we continue. Sorry, I didn't want to ignore these. Freddie said, fun fact, AAA been in NASCAR since 2005, and it is their first race win with a Cup team. So that's kind of interesting for Joey Logano. Matt Maher talking about the Texas track, saying the progressive banking needs to go, and also commented on my comment about multiple grooves, saying, you mean Texas pre-2017? Yes, please, let's have that back. To be honest, I didn't watch NASCAR pre-2017, so I don't know, but sure.
He's a babe in the woods.
I know, yeah. Woods, man. All-Star Race 2019, that was my first exposure to the sport. So
now your life has never been the same.
I know.
Look at what it's led you to.
It led me to you, Logan.
just an odd thing. All right, let's go back to Joey Logano here.
Yeah.
And Ryan, I'm still waiting on your reply. How many Super Speedway style races do you want? How many do you think is the sweet spot? But let's go back to Joey Logano. Can we put the hubbub about his disappointing season kind of to bed? I mean, yes, you won the race, and you can't take that away from him. The defending champ proves again what a you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? You know, he proves it again. That's a great team. He's a great driver. He's going to be one of the all-time greats when he calls it a day. But does it cure all your worries? Does it cure all his ills as far as kind of how he feels right now, where he stands in, you know, I guess you can't say the standings anymore because he's got the winning ring, but kind of the momentum. The momentum really hasn't been on his side until Texas. Frankly, you can say that for all the Ford. Until the last 2 weeks. And so I just want to know, does this make you go, yeah, the kind of the concern regarding his season was much ado about nothing, in the words of old Bill Shakespeare?
I mean, I think the monkey's off his back a little bit with the win. Certainly that, you know, that allows him to now focus on the playoffs and how that goes for the 22 team. But I think that's kind of a Team Penske ritual in some ways. You know, they don't always have a super strong regular season, but they, what is it, three championships in a row they've got now? So, I mean, it is the, you can gripe with Joey Logano as last year's champion. I know there's people who didn't love the fact that he basically was like 17th in points or something, but are you raising your hand over there? What's going on? Yeah, that's you that was upset about that. I think maybe the system is broken, but it's not Joey Logano's fault that the system is broken. So he won the championship. It counts, right? No, I have no issue with him. It's just, you know, maybe we should be tweaking that. And I think they are talking about that for next year. But yeah, I mean, not having a strong regular season doesn't really matter as long as you can get into the playoffs, and he's kind of done that now. And to be honest, I mean, yeah, we're used to maybe seeing him a little bit more in the front than he has been this year. But also, like, if you look at his points, if you took away the win and you're in, he would have been, I believe, top 10 in points right now, which is not all that terrible. So
yeah, he's been a case of where, similar to Ryan Blaney in some ways, where they have good races in stage one, stage two, and then they can't bring it home stage three.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Ryan, let's get to a couple comments here. Matt Marsh says he wants to go back to four Super Speedway races with the old Atlanta back. I actually agree with you, and I tell you why. You want to talk safety issue? I think something is bound to happen at Atlanta. I don't like the high speeds in that small a space. there's not a lot of room for the rubber band to kind of bounce back, if that makes sense. So that's just my thought. Ryan says six is fine. He only wants three road courses, though. Sonoma, Watkins Glen, and here comes a hot one. Here comes a hot take. The Roval. He might be the only individual I've ever said that he wants that. I don't mind it on the schedule myself, but I'm saying we're kind of like the Marines. We're the few and the proud. And then he says, bet Logan wouldn't be upset if it was Eric Jones won the championship like Logano did last year.
Absolutely true.
100% true. That is 100% a fact. It's a fact, 100%. I'm not going to lie to you on that. Like, I ain't going to sit here and be that.
You can try, but I know how you feel.
Well, I think maybe I'm wrong. I won't know until someday we get there, and I'm praying for it every evening, folks. But I think that I would understand the argument for, like, that would, frankly, it would be an Eric Jones type. It would be a John Hunter Nemechek type that would make people go, yeah, the system's broken. Because let's be real, if it wasn't Joey Logano, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer, going to be all time great to the sport by the time he calls it a day, probably already is. I think there would be more outcry about his kind of lackluster season that resulted in a championship. I think the first time you get a true kind of, whoa, we never thought we'd see him win a championship guy. That's when, and now if it comes off consistent results, that's different. But if it's kind of the way that Logano inadvertently backdoored because of the Alex Bowman penalty, and hey, you know, to the victor go the spoils, I get it. But I think if we ever get something similar to where it's someone like, I don't mean to put anybody down here, but a Chris Buescher, a Ryan Preece, you know, those handful of names that you think can win races, don't get me wrong, but you don't necessarily think are championship calendar, and Eric Jones would fall under that category currently. So, and then I think people would go, yeah, the system's broken, but because it's Joey Logano and he's already a first ballot Hall of Famer and already one of the greatest to ever do it, I think the outcry died down quickly. That's just my take, but yeah, you're right. As a legacy lover, make no mistake about it. I would be like, it would be shirtless with paint on all this man meat. Make no mistake, like, we'd have a lot of fun. Ryan House is top five leader, I believe. Logano's been up there. He just has, yeah, he has absolutely.
He's fourth in lap sled. I double checked it. So
yeah, Ryan makes another good point. That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, Ryan. If Harrison Burton somehow won the championship last year, there would be pitchforks like one of those SpongeBob Doomsday scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep.
You know, it would be absolutely madness. And there was a fair amount of outcry at the start of the offseason with the Logano's championship. But again, I think it's subdued down because we still go, well, he is Joey Logano, and he is capable of winning every race, and he's capable of winning a championship every year. He drives for a team that's capable of winning every year, and they've proven that. For now, the last three, where again, if Harrison Burton or Josh Berry of the Wood Brothers, if they win the championship this year, if they don't do it based on purely consistent results and a couple more wins, don't you think there'll be people going, we got to do something? So yeah, I you know, it's an interesting discussion to have. Obviously, you know, we'll see what the future of the championship you know, standings look like, the playoffs and all that, because I don't think they're done tweaking the system. I don't think they're done tweaking the system. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. All right.
I'd be open to a little tweak, you know? I have routinely said on this show that I applaud that NASCAR is willing to try new things out. And often that is in response to public outcry, you know? And maybe I shouldn't say outcry. It's not always outcry, but feedback from the public. Yeah, it's like, we don't like this one thing, so we're going to try something else. And NASCAR has usually been pretty willing to do that. And so I applaud them on that. This is another example. It's hard because I don't know what the fix is. Like, it's not that there's a clear, this is how the championship should be won. Or, you know, this particular format that we haven't tried yet, this is exactly what we need. I don't know if we have that right now. So there's going to be some, you know, give and take. There's going to be some probably trial and error. And maybe next year they do tweak it and maybe it's horrible. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to come out and blast NASCAR next year if it is a bad finish, or if, you know, if something weird happens that they don't expect. I applaud the ability and the desire to keep trying. So,
yeah, I get that. I do. I think, you know, again, it's one of those things that until we see it, we don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. And mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Ryan says Josh Berry's been strong at 21 this season. He has, absolutely. And, yeah. and that is as my late grandfather would say, that is a little peculiar to me. I'll tell you why. I don't understand why, what the difference is this year as far as, I don't know if like Roger and the boys were like, we're going to help them more this year because it's their 75th year. We want them to have a damn good season.
I think there's a little, this is like, you know, we talk about the eye test and I don't know. I feel like there's a weird thing going on with Josh Berry this year, and I don't want to take away from him. I actually quite like him, but he's tied with Daniel Suarez in points for 25th. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have that win, he's not sniffing the playoffs right now. He's 34 points out. And yeah, 34 points out. So he's been up front. He's shown some good moments, and obviously the win gets him in the playoffs. Good for him. But to say that he's having like an amazing year, I don't know if I fully agree. He's been on TV more often, and that, you know, good for him, but it is all about results at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think that similar to, I think you can say this about almost all of Penske, similar to his, I guess, Penske cousins, if not brethren, a lot of it has been some bad luck in the midst of races, right? I mean, he led 41 laps yesterday, I believe, and then he hits the bump of doom, and and you know, it goes flying around like a lotto ball, and so I just, you know, like I said, I think that Penske, so again, they've won the last 2 weeks, Ford has won the last 2 weeks, so maybe this narrative is now played out, but Penske feel like they've had a lot of bad luck in the later stages of races where, I don't know, it doesn't feel like they've had as genuine a bad luck in recent memory as I've seen for quite some time. You know, it was a good day for him yesterday. Ryan Blaney finished third. You know, he was up there for contending for the win. Matter of fact, it looked like it was going to be him or McDowell there for a little bit until the wild, kind of wild ending, so to speak. Yeah, Penske did. He ran out of batteries, and then they didn't have a spare battery for Austin Cindric later on because they gave all the batteries to Josh Berry and the Wood Brothers.
Right.
I'd be telling the Wood Brothers, be like, I know you all know better not to bring your own batteries. Come on, fellas, let's go.
However, though, like, look at someone like Ryan Blaney. I think Ryan Blaney has the most DNFs of anyone so far this season.
Yes, I believe he's sitting at four.
He's at four. He's tied with Cody Ware and Brad Keselowski. Three-way tie for the top. Mm-hmm. And yet, like, so we could say Ryan Blaney's also having an unlucky year. Ryan Blaney's also over 100 points ahead of Josh Berry in the point standings. So,
see, I think this is what comes. This is what comes down to. This is, matter of fact, it epitomizes the way you and I often look at not only NASCAR but life. I look at the eye test more often than not, and you look at the flat out numbers. And see, it feels to me like Josh Berry is way better than that. It feels to me like Josh Berry is way better than that. Clearly, the numbers bear out that he isn't, and so that's fascinating.
He's actually, here's one for you. He's on track to, do I have this right? Give me one sec. Stall for me for a second.
I got you. yeah, like, you know, it's interesting, right? I don't know. I wonder if Logano's season is, like I said, is it saved now? Is everything cool? Is he back to being the perennial championship contender we know he is? Is Penske back on a roll now that they've gotten back-to-back wins? Because until Cindric at Talladega, it was just Josh Berry that had found victory lane for the Ford camp. And now it's been Cindric and now Logano this week. And hey, wins are wins. But again, before you give me your stat here, I want to know, are the worries about Ford or Logano or Penske, are they all solved for you? I know that you weren't necessarily hitting that old panic button. You're a very calm, cool, rational fellow. But it gone long enough now where, I mean, it had to be a bit of at least a talking point. And so do you now think that Penske's about to find that groove they've been able to find for the last three seasons?
Well, they got two wins in a row now with Cindric winning last week and Logano now this week. It's, I don't know. I don't think Penske, as a rule, prioritizes much in the regular season. I think it's all building the book for the postseason, for the playoffs. And so I don't know if they care. We got to somewhere get our win, and they always bring, you know, good enough to get close to that throughout the regular season at some point. Austin Cindric hasn't not always been doing that, but pretty much you can bank on Blaney and Logano being in the playoffs. Like, that's not usually a question. Here's the stat I was going to say to you. Josh Berry is on track to finish with 275 less points than he got last year.
That is incredible to think about.
Now, Joey Logano, 230 less points than last year. And that one makes sense. I feel like we would, you know, that's not shocking to me.
Yeah. No, the Josh Berry one is shocking because I don't feel like Josh Berry got it going until the second half of last year. I feel like his first half of the season last year for Stuart Haas was kind of rough. It was kind of a learning period as he was getting kind of used to things.
I don't disagree with you that the eye test does not necessarily show this. Like, I am surprised by this as well, but because I track these things and I'm a nerd, I'm tempering my expectations on Josh Berry right now. And I say that as someone who quite likes him as a human being. I think he's actually really great. So,
now, we've talked before that Josh Berry, is somebody you certainly, I don't want to say he's like one of your favorites, but you certainly find him easy to root for.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of my opinions
on drivers is based on like my interactions with them when I've been at the track.
Sure.
And Josh Berry's always been so lovely to deal with. There are others who aren't always. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully you just got him on a bad day. Ryan says it's time to break that odd year curse. I don't know, Ryan. Does this make you kind of, you know, even keel out and go, yeah, we're going to be fine? Does one win kind of solve that? Because for someone like, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, for someone like Legacy Motor Club, yeah, one win does solve it, right? Because that's not the standard is the standard. And what I mean by that is Penske and Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney and to a lesser extent Austin Cindric have set a higher standard than just one win. So again, does one win make you feel confident about where he stands right now as far as the old fickle mistress known as momentum in the season? I think it's a fascinating discussion. But we got to keep moving it along.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots of cautions that we talked about. It was a unique top 10. And again, we try very hard not to be homers on the show. We don't necessarily hide our fandom per se, but we try very hard to kind of leave it at the door. I do think it's worth pointing out, solid day for Legacy Motor Club thanks to the wild day of it all. Hey, who's that fella? Golly.
Who's that handsome fella?
Yeah. Well, that's the King Richard Petty in there, and somebody that really admires.
I had to bring it up there for you. Looking good, both of you.
Hey, so I could use some of his dye. Really, that's good stuff. Ryan says one win in the regular season and three or four in the playoffs, per usual. I appreciate the confidence. We'll see if it happens. I appreciate the comment. I hope you got some Hunt Brothers pizza today, Ryan. And if you didn't, you let your boy down. Great day for Legacy Motor Club. It's the best day certainly since the Daytona 500, where Jimmy Johnson finished third, and John Hunter Nemechek had a good day as well. And I believe Eric Jones finished 13th in the 500. They were P5, P8 yesterday. Great day. great day for that team. Much needed. You know, it's been not as rough as last season, but still not much to sing about. And so great for them. Yes, I did. I did go meet the King yesterday on the Kyle Petty charity ride. Sure did. They made a stop in near Cleveland, Ohio, and I talked to producer Peggy, who will be back with us next week, into making the trek, the 2.5-hour trek to go stand out in the cold at a Speedway gas station. But we had a wonderful interaction. He's just one of the kindest and finest people on God's earth, as far as I'm concerned. And if you disagree with that, really, you're the problem, because he's just such a kind and decent individual. Most people in NASCAR circles would not call that hot. Matter of fact, people used to come knock on his door while he was eating dinner, and he would take pictures and sign autographs.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, he's always just, he loves taking care of people, and he's such a wonderful guy. Anywho, but it was a unique top 10. Besides Legacy, Adam, who stuck out to you that you're like, wow, they got a top 10? I haven't seen the top 10 since it was getting invented back in the Stone Age. you know, because there were some different players up there. I mean, it became a point, again, I want to try to leave the bias at the door. But, I mean, at the end there, especially the green-white checker, I mean, it became a possibility if things went a certain way that all of a sudden Eric Jones sits in row two. And if things go kind of one false move for other people, he can steal one. What other people surprised you besides, again, Legacy, John Hunter, and Eric Jones? What other people kind of getting in the top 10 and being in contention kind of, you know, made you go, wow, I haven't seen that in a while?
Yeah, you don't necessarily suspect. You don't necessarily expect to see Ricky Stenhouse Jr. rounding out your top 10 there. Mm-hmm. He's finished sixth. To be honest, even Ross Chastain finishing P2, it's not dogging on him, but he hasn't been the strongest this year. So that's kind of nice to see. And that's not even necessarily from like a fandom perspective, but I just think when there are more people running up front, week in and week out, it makes it more interesting, right? You don't want Kyle Larson to just dominate every single race. Austin Dillon, P7, you know, sure, you know. And then also, I feel like, who else am I looking at here? I mean, even Ty Dillon in 12th, you know, like.
Great day for that team. That's not your great day for that team.
Yeah.
No, I'm really happy about Ross Chastain. Happy for our good buddy Dan Foster, who's quite the track house guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so, no, that's big for Ross Chastain because ever since, again, unfortunately, you can kind of put his career in two paths, pre-Mr. H lecture and post. It feels like he's lost his confidence a little bit, and maybe that helps get it back because there's no better confidence builder than results. Before we move it along, lots of negative chatter online. As you know, Adam, I go through spells where I post a fair amount. Other times I don't post a fair amount, but I'm always scouring the socials. You know, it's a thing of mine. I like to get in the town square, so to speak, and see what people are saying.
You're like an influencee.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I like to see what everybody's thinking. And there is a lot of negative chatter about this car and the state of NASCAR and the state of the Cup Series. Have you seen this? Have you?
Yeah. I mean,
if you doom scroll the old X, the old Twitter, the old whatever you want to call it, it is a lot of people, I mean, that say the Cup Series is broken. There were people busting out the pitchforks for Joey Logano that he kind of backed into it, so to speak. And, you know, at this juncture of the season, what's your take? Is this car an issue? Is it not an issue? Is it time to hit the panic button on this thing? Is it time to scrap? What is the state of the Cup Series in your estimation? Because a lot of chatter online is it's in bad shape. What say you?
I take issue with it. To be honest, I don't know. Not every race is going to be a banger. Have we had a string of some maybe less interesting races? Yeah, sure. At the end of the day, we're sitting watching cars drive around in circles. And I know that's kind of a joke for the people who don't really understand NASCAR. And they say, oh, isn't that, they just turn left over and over again. Really? I mean, that's what we're all doing, watching it every weekend too. And so a day watching that where it's not as interesting as some other days still beats a day where I'm not watching it, as far as I'm concerned. I enjoy it. And yeah, does it have to be, you know, I don't know if there's something wrong with the car. I don't know if it's just the unlucky, you know, if it's the tracks we've been to. I don't know if it's the weather has been blah, you know, like there's just so many variables that go into what make a race good or bad. And I think it's really just a game of chance. You have people like Kyle Larson right now, who's been pretty dominant. He hasn't necessarily showed up in the winning column every single time, but he led the most laps yesterday. And when he gets up front, it's like you used to say about Martin Truex, you know, when Martin Truex wins, it's not usually an exciting race.
Stinks Larson, up the show, boys. Stinks up the show.
Yeah. And so how do you, like, what, are you going to put some sort of, like, limiter on Kyle Larson's car so that the racing's more interesting? Talk to F1 fans from 2 years ago when Max Verstappen won, like, 75% of the races. Like, what, you know, is it fun to watch? Maybe not every single week, but it's also, you know, it's like they say, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work, you know? And this is like, it's, I'm not even a fisherman, but I just, you know, I've heard that about golf too. Like, sure. I feel like a bad day at the races better than a good day at work. And sure, so
I get you.
You know what? We're all doing this for entertainment. And is it going to blow your socks off every single week? No, it's not. It's not. And yet, if it did, we'd still find things to complain about. So,
yeah, it's kind of a thing. No, I get what you're saying, and I think a big tell will be a race like next week. Kansas has produced some great racing under this next gen era, and so if it is not a great race at Kansas, that's when you start to go, what happened there? Now, again, maybe weather plays a part. We'll see what happens. So far, the weather looks good. But Kansas has produced kind of banger after banger in this next gen era. So if it comes up short, and I mean by a wide margin, then you kind of go, man, what has happened? Because Kansas has been one of those kind of old reliables in this era of like, yeah, we're going to see some great finishes here. We're going to see some great action here. Some great racing one through 36, 37, 30, or whatever it may be. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Kansas shakes out. Obviously, we'll talk more about the chatter as the year goes on and see where things kind of sit. But right now, there's a lot of negative talk out there, negative narratives. In Xfinity, Kyle Larson subbed in for Connor Zilich, and he won at Texas. It was another caution field overtime. You got to give credit to his crew chief, though. His crew chief said, we're going to have to stop to win, and as it turned out, they did. You gotta give credit, called a shot. And I'm not surprised that Kyle Larson wins. We're not gonna break down too much of this one. But just really, you know, Kyle Larson does what Kyle Larson does, right? I mean, he openly said on Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour a couple weeks ago, when he competes in Xfinity and truck races, his goal is to embarrass the field.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know if he embarrassed the field per se, but he did his job. And it was a double overtime, and then the double overtime theme continued with the truck race. I should say started, because that was first Corey Heim. It was Heim time. It took a little while to get there, but it indeed did happen. He'll be in a cup car this weekend at Kansas, actually.
There you go.
Driving for 2311.
What number is he driving this week?
I believe it is the 67.
67.
I believe so.
Interesting. Okay.
So he'll be in a cup car.
I'll just have to go check the entry lists here at racingrefresh.com and see what number he's driving.
You certainly should. Alex Palou dominated at Barber in IndyCar. He's really on a hot streak. And then, so help me with that name for IndyCar. Got his third win.
Oscar Piastri.
Those McLaren fellas. They're kind of saying move over Red Bull.
They are. And, you know, it's funny because everyone kind of had pegged Lando Norris as being the guy this year. He was the one to beat. And teammate Piastri, third in a row, he takes over this. Well, he was already in the lead, but he continues to grow his lead in the standings there. And do you imagine, I mean, I know you don't follow F1 that much, but does the team pivot a little bit and say, okay, maybe Piastri's our guy this year, and we devote all our time and resources to getting him the championship?
I think you do. You know, I think in any sport, the old saying is you ride the hot hand. We see it in NASCAR, right, with the ownership. We saw Bubba Wallace a few years ago change numbers of cars because it benefited the owner's championship points at the time. Yeah, right. I think you ride the hot hand to do what you got to do. And that happens in every sport. I know you're a big hockey guy. I'm sure there's times you ride the hot stick holder, if you will.
The hot goalie, you know, you get sometimes you throw your backup in there and he posts a shutout and they say, we're going back to you again next time, buddy. Let's see what you got. So
yeah, I think, like, you know, I don't follow F1 a ton. That's where our main man Ryan comes on in. Mm-hmm. But no, I absolutely think common sense with Dave Tate, but especially if this run continues, you don't want to make too much of anything. But if this run continues, yeah, you start putting your eggs in that basket. All right, we got to keep moving it along here. And so that means it's time. What do you say, Adam, for a little Speedway Scoop? You know, Adam, in just a couple weeks here, we'll be singing the classic Bare Naked Lady song, If I Had a Million Dollars. Because in a couple of weeks here in North Wilkesboro's coming up.
Good Canadian band, by the way. Good Canadian band, the Bare Naked Ladies. So,
and it's been 1 week.
And I know how you feel about Bare Naked Ladies, Logan.
Well, love every member. Love every member of the Bare Naked Ladies. And frankly, I think it should become a bigger band. But yeah. Nonetheless, the Saturday night features for the All-Star race have been extended to 75 laps. You'll recall they were originally 60. Now that you've had some chance to digest the format, we talked about it last week. Are you still pretty poo-poo on it? Have you softened a little? Because you've had time to chew the proverbial fat. So $1 million here in a couple weeks with a promoter's caution, and now we got the features up to 75 and laps. Is there any part of you that's not dreading the $1 million special here?
I'll still watch it. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I went
on a giant rant earlier about how we complain about things too much. And now I'm going to come back around and say, yeah, I still think the promoter's caution is a dumb idea. But sure. You know what? I don't know. From 60 to 75 laps, does it make a huge difference? Probably not. I don't know what the thought process is behind that. Is it like a fuel run, tire run, or something?
I think they're trying to get this pit stop in there, because you know how I believe it'll be a case where, you know, it's guys trying to get in the show on Sunday, right? You know,
right.
And so yeah, you try to get a little pit stop there, a little fuel strategy, see if you can make the field and do what you got to do, and I'm okay with that. Anything that adds more strategy, I'm for. I like the chess match team crew chiefs I always have.
Same. And I mean, also you're throwing a bone to the fans there who are going to be there. Yeah. They get a little more racing out of
more
it.
Money. Yep.
I got no problem with that.
I get you. Yep. More bang for your buck.
It just seems weird to like announce the format and then like 2 weeks later be like, oh, by the way, we're adding 15 more laps to the features on Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, okay, like, great, thanks.
You
know, like,
did that meeting go a little long? It's not like you haven't had all season to think about. You've had longer than that. You've had since last year to think. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could have kind of figured the thing out. But no, $1 million will be online here in a couple weeks. That's also, for what it's worth, folks, whether you like this or you don't like this, and it's a very controversial topic, that is the last week of the Fox coverage, and then the next 5 races after that will go to Amazon Prime. And I know there are some people out there that are just very vehemently upset about it. The NASCAR comment sections on X and Facebook during those weeks are going to be wild. I promise you, we might need to make a feature on this show of just the wildest comments about Prime.
I will say they probably did the best thing they could have done by hiring Dale Jr. because he's such a beloved figure in NASCAR. And so
if anyone will make you add to cart for your Amazon Prime subscription, be Dale Jr. Yeah, I get it.
There you go. Yep.
So yeah, usually, as you know, usually it used to be the Fox coverage ended at Sonoma. That was their last race. Again, under this new contract, it is the All-Star race in a couple of weeks is the last one for Fox. And then the next 5 weeks will be on Amazon Prime only.
Yeah.
And I know that upsets some of you. I get it. I hear you. And I understand where you're coming from. I do. I do. Whether I agree with you or not, I understand your point of view.
Here's a question for you. And actually, I don't know if we have heard this answer or not. Is there still going to be commercials on Prime?
I don't know.
Is it a commercial-free broadcast?
I would very much bet there'll be commercials because that's more money in NASCAR's pocket.
Well, of course it is. But I'm curious. Or like, is there less commercials? Like,
I would hope there's less.
Better be. God.
Yeah, at the very least, bare minimum, because I'm a negotiable fellow, I would like every commercial to be some sort of side by side.
Yeah.
Every single one. Where in on the Fox coverage, it tends to be the later half of stage three. I can begrudgingly live if Amazon Prime has every commercial in the side by side. That way, I don't really miss, you know, mm-hmm. we don't, because there's nothing worse, and I don't fault Fox for this. They can't control the cautions, right? But there's nothing worse than when we come back and go, what happened? You know, there's just, you just feel like a goof for a second. So yeah, I haven't heard much about that. I think that's a good question.
Yeah.
The Road America president would love to see NASCAR come back. Do you want Road America back on schedule? I know it's a track that in our personal lives you're a little partial to. You're not too bad on a little NASCAR Road America action. You're a road course ringer.
I
see Road America back on the NASCAR circuit. Yay or nay?
Yes, with some sort of system in place to combat the ridiculously long caution issues they were having there, just because the track is so long. Like someone spins and there's an issue like on one part of the track, you got to throw a full course caution, and then like running what, like two or three laps under caution takes like half an hour. It's just that part of it was not working for NASCAR. If they could adopt some sort of similar style to like F1, where they have a safety car or like certain sections of the course are under caution, I'd be more open to that. But I mean, obviously the Road America president wants NASCAR to come back. Like what else would bring that kind of revenue to that track? Probably nothing, right? Yeah. So of course, I'm sure anyone who has previously had a NASCAR race at their track would love NASCAR to come back. But yeah, I like the track. I think it's a cool track. And I'm, you know, Canada Corner. Where could you go wrong there? It sounds awesome.
I know what you're saying.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that you have to address those caution issues at the track.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. I wish that NASCAR would rotate tracks a little more, because it feels like for the first time, at least in, you know, I can't speak to years and years ago, but for the first time, at least in the last 15 to 20 years, there seems to be more tracks ready for them than there are to fill the 38
yeah.
races. And that's pretty incredible when you consider how long the season is. I mean, there are tracks that are clamoring for a second date. They're clamoring for one date. They're claiming for a brand new shot. There's street courses wanting to get involved. We've heard the Long Beach rumors. We don't know the status of Auto Club. We know Kentucky would like to be back on the schedule. We now know that Road America wants to be back on the schedule. Mm-hmm. We're now going to Mexico here in a month or so. There's just so many options for NASCAR to look at. I'm sure Chicagoland, Rockingham would like a cup race, I am sure. There's so many options.
Rumblings of Montreal as well. And
there's so many options. And so I would like to see kind of a rotation where, all right, maybe Bristol gets 2 days 1 year and then one date less another year. So we can go to Road America, or we can go to Montreal, or we can go to Mexico, or we can go to wherever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to see more of a rotation of that. But it's a good problem for NASCAR to have. There's a, you know, for the people that say, well, the season ought to be shorter, as long as there's a demand for NASCAR to keep coming to these tracks, certainly more tracks than they got races, there's no reason for NASCAR to go, we're going to shorten the season. I mean, they got people falling over themselves going, please either make your debut here or come here or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's interesting to think about. The top 10 drivers in the All-Star fan voting was announced. Adam, do you vote in the All-Star fan voting?
I don't know. Not really. No, when I say not really, I just
mean it's a pretty simple question. I mean,
yeah, no, I do not. Yeah. I don't begrudge those that do. I think good for you guys. And partially, I think just because my driver for the longest time was Martin Truex Jr. and I didn't really need to vote for him to get in. He usually was already guaranteed a spot with a win. So I didn't really care as much about the other ones. I find it interesting. I like to see like what the general public thinks and who gets voted in. So I'm interested in it, but I don't really have a stake in it. So I don't usually vote. No,
I got you.
I imagine you are voting often. Is that?
Oh, I vote 5 times a day. actually I'm up to 10 with 2 emails.
There you go.
Cause you can vote 5 times per
year. You're going to hear first, folks, voter fraud. In the All-Star fan vote.
No, that's perfectly within the rules. It's in the fine print. I looked. So Jazzy Love is making 2 additional cup starts for RCR in 2025. First will be this weekend, and then later on in the summer at Richmond. I'm wondering if Pop's got some big plans for Jazzy Love. He seems to be trying to get him in a car far more often than he seems to try to get Austin Hill in a cup car. So I don't know. I don't know if Pop and the gang think he's got a blue chipper on his hands, a blue chip prospect. Kind of interesting to think about.
I think Jesse Love has
the value they see in him.
I think Jesse Love has been overachieving in the Xfinity series, and by that I don't mean overachieving at his own like level. I just mean I think he's doing better than maybe they expected, and so I think it's a nice little gesture. Yeah. Keep up the good work. You know, the cup paydays are probably a little better, even if you're not finishing, you know, in the top 15 or whatever. Like I imagine it's better than it is in Xfinity. And so, yeah, I think it's more of like a, hey, you know, we like what you're up to. Keep it up and, you know, stay with us basically because we are invested in you. So
certainly, you know, you don't want anyone, you know, I'm sure that Pop doesn't want anyone to pull you know, they call it a Tyler Reddick, where you kind of make a commitment and you go, hey, I'll see you. So I just, you know, I'm sure he's trying not to have that kind of deja vu all over again. I don't mean to take a shot at you there, but I'm just calling a spade. He kind of said, yeah.
No, I kind of took a shot at you a little minute ago by insinuating that you must vote a lot at the All-Star Race fan voting. Cause...
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I got you. I understand where you're coming from. It's fine. Yeah. All right. Anywho, look, I'll tell you what, a couple of handsome studs there, wasn't it? Couple of handsome studs. Don't you love that picture? Doesn't it bring you joy?
It reminds me of the previous photo of you and him. I was trying to find it. I couldn't get it.
That's why Peter called it part 2.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but now we'll talk about that some other time. Maybe okay. During one of the holiday editions, we'll talk about how thrilled I get. Meeting Richard Petty.
As you should.
Before we wind it up, it's time for a little weekend preview. Alrighty, folks. NASCAR is in Kansas, but just the Cup and the trucks. It's a rare off week for the Xfinity Series. Kyle Larson won this race last year in the springtime. And so that's something to look out for too. Of course, he's a Highline master. He and Tyler Reddick. So there'll be 2 people I think strong to look out for this weekend. Elsewhere, IndyCar, they're it's the month of May, so they're doing the Indy Road Course this weekend. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. As you know, they pretty much camp out for the month of May at the historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and rightfully so. Always hanging out at the Yard of Brooks if you have the opportunity. Any thoughts on either one of those situations there, Mr. Caramon?
I would say, yeah, no. I'll save my thoughts for Racing Refresh Picks, actually. How about that?
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a nice little segue, and I ain't talking about the little scooter thing. So what do you say we get to our Racing Refresh Picks?
Let's do it.
All right, Mr. Caramon, give us the score update coming out of Texas.
Well, we had a good run there. I had a good run. It has come to an end at Texas. My pick of Ryan Preece was looking good for a little bit there. I'll tell you, he finished 29th, which put me in last place. ChatGPT seemed like maybe, an odd kind of out of left field pick with Ross Chastain, but he came P2. So say what you want, but ChatGPT maybe knows what they're talking about. So the score, ChatGPT is still quite ahead. 39. I've got 26. Producer Peyton's at 23 and you're at 22. So the mid pack here, mid to rear pack, is getting closer and closer. And I think we will catch up to ChatGPT in due time, because they're just making all the best ones for now. But
I do as well.
I get to pick first, right? Because I'm the big loser from last week. Kansas. Hey, I know I should have prepped. I am going to go with, oh, you know what? Here's what I was going to say. Keep an eye on Ross Chastain at this track as well. It was Kyle Larson who won here in the spring last year, but fall was Ross Chastain's win at Kansas in the playoffs. I don't believe Chastain was in the playoffs, but he won the race. But I have already picked Chastain this year, so I am instead going to go with, I'm going to take Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, he's got a Kansas win under his belt.
He does indeed, yeah. Producer Peyton is up next, and I don't know if we have her pick, actually. So we may have to get back to you on that. Why don't you tell us who you're picking, Logan?
Well, I will take the man you alluded to. Give me Ross Chastain.
There you go. See, I bunged it up here. I hate that word. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
I don't know what it means. I just, context clues tells me you screwed something up. I'm just a C plus man. It makes me smarter than half of you.
There you go. I'm just asking ChatGPT right now. Okay, here we go. Let me just make sure. They're not very smart, so they have to make sure they didn't already pick it. They're taking Chris Buescher for
from Prosper, Kansas. Texas.
There you go.
Christopher Buescher might get it done. We'll see what happens.
And we will find out what Producer Peyton has to say. We'll find out. We'll let people know. You can look on Twitter. I'll post that at some point during the race, maybe next weekend. So
absolutely. Yeah. With that, it's been another lovely edition of the Speed Syndicate, but every Speed Syndicate must come to an end. But before it does, it's time for a little closing time. All right, my Canadian pal, my Canuck friend, we've come to the end of another great edition of Speed Syndicate. I believe producer Peggy Peyton, whatever you want to call it, I call it, that's my favorite thing. I believe very firmly she'll be back with us next week.
That's the plan.
She vowed it to us earlier, if you recall. Give me some final words.
I'm just going to share a funny little story with you. I was out for dinner last night with some of the in-law family, and I've got a little nephew who's been taking some drum lessons, and was asking him how it was going. And he says to me, I'm learning this new song. Have you ever heard of a song called Vultures by John Mayer? And I was like, little buddy, let me tell you something. I've listened to that song more times than you probably have ever listened to any song in your life. So yeah, I'm familiar with it. And I thought it was funny that he was, I'm happy to be preaching the gospel. Yeah. Keep listening to John Mayer, everyone. He's a great dude. Great singer, songwriter, guitar player, all of the above. And then for next week's race, I may be missing a bit of the beginning of it, but I will just have to catch up. Playing a gig on Saturday night, kind of out of town. We're staying overnight in Whistler, which people may have heard of. It was where the Olympics took place, some of it. So I'll be on my way back from there, which is about 2 to 3 hour drive Sunday morning, and may miss a little bit of the race, but we'll see what happens. That's enough out of me. How are you? Wrap us up, you know, do your thing. Tell us your closing bits here.
Yeah. First of all, hotels are jail. I don't like them. They're jail.
Well, depends what kind of hotel you're staying at.
So, they're all jail. They're all jail. And they've had 15 people sleeping in that bed that I don't know. And I can't go get a snack at 2 a.m. Hotels are jail. You know what's real nice? When you wake up in your bed the next day and you go, ain't it nice? We're not up and checking out right now. Anywho, I will actually likely miss Sunday's race without some rain. Because I'll be at a music festival all weekend long, starting Thursday. My brothers and producer Peyton and I, we do it every year. It's called Sonic Temple. And so in the Sonic Temple Music Festival. And so we do it every year. And believe me, as you know, I dread missing races. I dread it. Mm-hmm. You know that about me very well, like anally so. But, you know, it's a little family time. It's obviously a lot of music, a lot of loud music. I won't hear as well when I come back next week. So without some rain, either in Columbus on Sunday or in Kansas on Sunday, I'm going to have to, you know, I'll be checking the phone in the way in the sunlight going, how are we looking? You know, so
I'm just checking this lineup. My goodness, there's quite a few bands going on here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a getting it time.
You got Metallica twice.
Yeah, it's a getting it time. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's exhausting for me, as you can imagine.
Yeah,
but no, we'll be getting it with Alice Cooper and all the folks, and Metallica and ICP is going to be in the house. It's a very diverse lineup.
It's gonna really add to your concert total.
Yeah,
the list.
Depending on how you want to count it. Yes, depending on how you want to count it. So yeah, I will unfortunately probably miss next week's race, barring some Mother Nature. And frankly, I'd rather just get it in right on time because I think rain at a racetrack is just this side of Satan. So enjoy the race, folks. Enjoy Kansas. It's usually some great racing. I will catch up with some highlights either Sunday night or Monday afternoon, and be prepared to chat with old Canadian Carbine, and I'll probably be hitting you up going, hey, how's my boys doing?
Yeah,
because
I'll keep you posted,
because I start jonesing for an update. I mean,
even if it's
27th, I gotta find out what we
he's doing? Literally jonesing, you guys.
Yeah, no, I
get it.
No. I told the king where the 43 and 42 were running position wise when I went up to it.
You know? Oh really?
Because he wanted it. I'm sure he wanted to know.
There you go. Yeah. We got. I don't think I can zoom in on that, but
that's good stuff.
There he is.
Yeah, you can see he's amused, and the lady by him that was helping him, you know, hand things goes, God, this guy's a creep. Oh my God, this guy's weird. So yeah, no, I pulled out the phone and got the update real quick and told him the running order of his two cars, and that might have been what caused the chuckle, because I told him that I could either watch Legacy on TV or come see the Legacy, and he got a kick out of that.
That's good.
He got a kick out of that. So, anywho, I will share more King stories at a more appropriate time, maybe like I said, a holiday episode or something. And until then, until next time. Again, probably won't see Kansas myself, but I hope you enjoy it. Adam, thank you as always for a fun hour. And thank you to our audio listeners. And I believe we will have the one and only producer Peyton back with us next week. So until then, we'll see you at the next track.